Have you ever heard of non-drug interventions? There is evidence that shows treatments are available to tend some conditions without using drugs or surgery. The treatments range from using music to treat insomnia in adults to using smartphone apps like My Quit Buddy to help people quit smoking. Joining me to talk about non-drug intervention is Dr. Ben Ewald, GP and a senior lecturer at the University of Newcastle. Welcome, Ben.
Good morning.
How long have doctors been using non-drug interventions?
It's been around since medicine began. It's not a new thing, but we've got a new approach to how it should be understood.
Yeah, and what's this new approach?
Well, there's a lot of research done every year into treatments, and some of those are into treatments that don't involve drugs, but the results of that research don't filter out into the medical community very well. So pieces of research that have been done and often showing, you know, effective treatments that would really work, there's not a strong mechanism whereby this gets sort of information put in a form that GPs and other doctors can easily access it and be shown how it can work and how good it is.
Do you think there's a misconception that people could sort of compare it to homeopathy?
No, look, it's nothing. There's nothing alternate about this. In fact, I don't think there's any such thing as mainstream medicine, alternate medicine. It's just medicine that works and medicine that doesn't work.
Yes.
And medicine that works should have evidence from properly conducted randomised controlled clinical trials where you take a group of people and you do the treatment with half of them and you don't do the treatment with the other half and you follow up and see what happens. So when that kind of high-quality research has been done, we say that there's, you know, good evidence that it works, and this is about collecting the evidence for all those non-drug treatments that have been shown to properly work. So just as an example, there's one, a treatment for glue ear, which is a very common condition in children. So after they have an acute middle ear infection, sometimes they're left with some gummy stuff in the middle ear that stops them from hearing properly. And it's important because at that young age, you know, children are learning language and learning new words every week. So it's important to keep their hearing as good as possible. So the traditional treatment for glue ear is, you know, after a period of waiting to see if it resolves by itself, they would have an operation to put a thing called a grommet into the eardrum that brings the air back into the middle ear and fixes the problem. Now, there's another treatment that we've become aware of called autoinflation, where the child actually does the exercise of blowing up a balloon with their nose, and that forces some air into the middle ear, and it works for about half of all the kids with glue ear. So it's a very simple thing that people can do at home, and it resolves the problem. So it's, you know, quicker and cheaper than an operation, and does the job for about half the kids that try it.
Yeah, that sounds really like a fantastic solution to such a simple sort of thing. The Handy Project is the handbook of non-drug intervention. What does that involve?
Well, there's a group of about a dozen general practice and physiotherapy academics who've got together and gone through a process of reviewing the evidence for all kinds of treatments. Some of them we reject because the evidence is not there, and others, you know, pass the standard and get included into the Handy Project. So this is run by the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners with some funding from Bupa to do this project. And we write up a clear description of each intervention, so who it's good for, who it shouldn't be used with, how much benefit you can expect from it, and any little tips and tricks, you know, as to how it should be done, things you need to know before wanting to do it with a patient.
Yeah, these treatments are shown to work. So do you think possibly why are doctors less likely to recommend them?
Well, some of them are things that people just have never heard about. I mean, a doctor might have, you know, been shown something when they were a student or during their early training, or picked it up from another colleague. But there might be sort of problems you don't see that often, or things that just they didn't know about. So, you know, there's an example here of wet combing for head lice. So children who get head lice nits that, you know, jump around between kids often at school, there's all sorts of nasty chemicals you can treat that with, but there's a very effective way of using a hair conditioner and combing with a very fine comb and getting rid of all the nits that way. It works well. It's been shown in research to work well. It doesn't involve any nasty chemicals. But you have to have the right instructions on how to do it. So, you know, this is all just assembled in one place. So doctors might have heard of that once, but when they, you know, see a kid with that problem and they want to do it, it's very good to be able to go to one place and get all the instructions on how to do it properly.